The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey, gang.
Ho-ho!
Guess what this weekend is?
What is it now?
This is National Hot Dog Day or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Or National Fireworks Day?
It
what
might
is
be.
That holiday? It's on the 4th of the 7th month of every year.
Yeah.
Is it the month of Tammuz? What is the month? Oh, it's July. July 4th.
July.
It's coming up.
Yes.
It's called Independence Day, folks.
I pronounce
we
it
don't
Julie.
Celebrate yeah. hot dogs.
Okay.
We don't celebrate... You know, fireworks. We celebrate the birth of America.
Yes.
The birth of liberty on yeah. the world stage. It happened in 1776,
mm-hmm.
which is coming up on 250 years ago. I need to write a book to come out for the 250th anniversary.
Well, I like to do this every year. If you get an 81-year-old guy, okay, and you go back to the day he was born, find another 81-year-old guy, and go back to the day he was born, find another 81-year-old guy, and you go back to the day he was born, you get to around 1776. Only three 81- or 82-year-old men or women go back.
And
that's
81
how young
today is more like 61. So yeah. we're really only talking about 180 years.
There's something like that, yeah.
Okay, so here's what's happening this weekend. First of all, let me say, before we get to July 4th, which is on Sunday, and we're going to get into that in a second here, but I want to say July 3rd, there's a big celebration in New York City. Sean Feucht, F-E-U-C-H-T, with Let Us Worship, letusworship.us. They're going to be in the Bronx on Saturday. I'm flying back from Kansas City to be there. I'll be speaking. It's going to be seriously amazing. If you can get there on Saturday, I think it starts at 5 p.m. officially, I think you want to be there. This is going to be a scene, man. And a lot of my friends are coming, and it's just going to be incredible. So I want to say that. Number two,
yes.
I want to say this weekend is Independence Day. And so we, on this program today, we may re-air it, we want to celebrate, both on Thursday and Friday, we want to celebrate July 4th by me doing a dramatic reading, extremely over-dramatic.
Yes.
I'm chewing the carpet, folks.
Oh, that's great.
I want to do a dramatic reading of Yankee Doodle Muggsy, which is a children's book that I wrote in verse with... I wrote it in verse, but it doesn't read in verse. Actually, no, it does. It does. It's in verse. It rhymes with Tim Raglan. He is my creative partner, and he and I have done a number of books together. We did the Donald Caveman books. But these books, the Uncle Muggsy books, which is Yankee Doodle Muggsy, Uncle Muggsy and the Terrible Twins of Christmas, and then our The Birthday ABC, they're much more sophisticated than the Donald books yeah. because the Donald books are, you know, they don't rhyme and they're not in, it's more of a cartoon illustration style.
Yeah.
But Tim's illustrations in the Muggsy books and in the Birthday ABC books, which you can all get at mystore.com, they are some of the most, they are genuinely worthy of framing. That is not even a slight exaggeration. They are the most heavenly illustrations I've seen in the modern era. I can't think of any children's illustrator that has more beautiful stuff. You'll see, folks. If you get the Muggsy books, you'll be astonished.
And by the way, Chris Himes did a great job producing this thing with music and sound effects and all that. It's a great...
Is Chris here?
Chris is not here.
All right, then why mention him?
Okay.
No, seriously, Chris Himes produced this, and so at the end of this segment, we're going to play. It's the 10 or 11 minute dramatic reading, overly dramatic, drippingly emotional.
Yes.
There's weeping, there's gnashing of teeth, there's crying, and laughing, and all kinds of emotional tomfoolery that's going to happen. And I'm going to read it,
and then you hear a slap, and you slap,
and then I kind of come out of it, and then we cut to the end. But seriously. it's a fun celebration of the I think, you know, one of the most important holidays we could possibly celebrate. We need to take it seriously by at least celebrating it and acknowledging it. So it's called Yankee Doodle Mugsy, and I'm going to read it when we come back.
Okay.
Now, before that, I should set up so people understand what it is. So I'm going to tell the story real quick. Ready?
Go.
Okay, the first book is Uncle Mugsy and the Terrible Twins of Christmas. And again, these are all available at mystore.com. Use code Eric. Prices are insane. But the first story is about a bachelor bulldog named Mugsy. Mugsy lives on a mansion, in a mansion up on the Hudson. He's wealthy, you know, kind of 1920s plutocrat. He's got a manservant or a butler named Peeves. And he lives his life for himself. He's a little self-obsessed. He has a lady friend named Margaret Dogmont, which is a kind of a nod to Margaret Dumont from the Marx Brothers. You know, she has a lorgnette and a tiara. And if you don't know what those are, read a book. But seriously, it's kind of like he's like a W.C. Fields character, a little bit like Ralph Cramden, if Ralph Cramden was wealthy, right?
And a dog.
And a dog. And so he lives in this mansion. And for Christmas, he gets a telegram or something that his niece and nephew, the cutest bulldog puppies ever, are arriving for Christmas. And he's thinking, I don't want this. I want to live my life. I don't even celebrate Christmas. I just want to live my life in peace and do what I want to do. So, of course, these kids come and they inject mayhem and kookiness into his life. A lot of crazy stuff. It's a little bit like the Little Rascals meets Frasier, because it's kind of sophisticated but wacky. And they turn his life upside down, and he has this moment of introspection, kind of a Scrooge moment, where he sees himself, what's become of him. And then he blows his brains out in an alley. It's a sad ending. Just kidding.
No.
He has this moment, and he sees what's become of him, and so he really repents. And it's like Scrooge on Christmas morning. He loves Christmas. So it's a really happy story, and he adopts the niece and nephew, and he gets married to Miss Dogmont. So that's the Christmas version.
Yeah. I'm glad they got married.
Me too, for crying out loud.
Yeah, hanging out together.
When Tim and I wrote the sequel, we said, okay, now they're married. They've adopted these two kids. What would the sequel be? And we thought it needs to be a July 4th story. Yeah. And the July 4th story is just like the Christmas story, except now Mugsy is the hero. And it starts that they get a visit from Aunt Hortensia, who is his mother-in-law. And she's a nasty old woman, a real dog. And I mean that literally. Mm. And she is from England, and she arrives around July 4th, and she doesn't want the kids to celebrate July 4th. So she has them doing stuff like, you know, practicing their violin and having high tea and wearing red coats. Yeah. Red coats, folks. Red coats. Get it? Red coats. While they ride their horses and stuff. And Mugsy is furious. He wants them to celebrate the 4th, as every red-blooded American kid or dog should. And so he does a kind of behind-the-scenes thing. It involves firecrackers and explosions. Very dangerous. Don't try this at home, especially if you're not a cartoon dog. Do not do this. But it's really a dramatic ending. And, of course, at the end of the day, liberty and the Americans win out over the Redcoats. And it's just a celebration of America.
Yeah.
So if you don't listen to me read this in the next segment, you might be communist. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You might be wearing like Nike Uyghur shoes or something.
Yeah.
No offense. We're not here to judge.
Or a Democrat.
Whatever you think you are, you might not be that. So I just want to say, listen to the next segment. It's very important. And we should emphasize, Albin.
Yes, sir.
That speaking of celebrating America, now this is the next segment, but speaking of celebrating America, the other day I had a conversation with President Trump.
Yes, you did.
And you were there.
I was there.
And I didn't listen to it until yesterday.
And I videotaped you listening to it and talking to
it. Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
All right. Well, anyway, but the point is that I listened to it yesterday, and the whole thing was different than I remembered.
Yeah.
I mentioned speaking at the Faith and Freedom thing and talking, mentioning Pence and, you know, whatever. And the President, Trump, in our phone conversation said, oh, yeah, that was the best part, blah, 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 blah. In other words, he watched me give my speech.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, whoa, that's kind of creepy. I don't like people watching me. I like to give my speech in peace, in privacy. Right. I don't want anybody hearing me give my speech. But the president evidently heard it, and I thought we need to get that speech and air it either on this program or put it on our YouTube, on Rumble or whatever. So we're going to be doing that because the president Trump, he heard the speech and he liked it.
There's so many neat things. People got to get the newsletter, because this is where all these pieces come together in your newsletter. Go to, well, you tell them.
Yeah.
EricMetaxas.com.
It's my current name, Eric Metaxas, EricMetaxas.com. If you don't spell it correctly, you're going to be in Dutch with the authorities. When we come back, a very dramatic reading of the greatest children's book ever. And then after that, we have Ask Metaxas and more fun stuff. Stick around.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Hey folks, are you concerned about memory loss for you or a loved one? VivaLore's founder prayed that God would show her the solution to memory loss because her mother had dementia. After many divine encounters combining faith and her background as a pharmacist, Susan Gibson created VivaLore Memory Support. VivaLore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. It won awards and has 3 books independently written about it. Visit VivaLore.com for testimonials about the life-changing improvements people have experienced. VivaLore is for those with normal memory, mild or severe memory loss. Don't wait until your memory slips. The pathology starts 20 years before your first memory loss symptom. That's VivaLore, VivaLore.com. Check it out. Remember, VivaLore is a premium quality all-natural supplement with 5 to 20 times more nutrients than any other memory supplement. VivaLore is V-I-V-O-L-O-R at VivaLore.com. Enter promo code 20 for 20% off. VivaLore.com, V-I-V-O-L-O-R.com. And now, Yankee Doodle Muggsy, read by me, the author, Eric Metaxas, and the book is by Eric Metaxas and Tim Raglan, and it's dedicated to the children of the American Revolution, past, present, and future. Oh, listen, my children, and you shall hear of the 4th of July and old Muggsy, dear. A greater patriot could ne'er be found, and hardly a man is now around who doesn't remember that famous day and cheer. On that hallowed day of our nation's birth, Muggsy, our hero, once more proved his worth as protector of Margaret, his beloved new wife, and Emily and Habakkuk in their happy new life. The morning began with a children's game. I was there as a witness, and the truth I proclaim, and just for the record, Peeves is my name. The stairs now he mounts. Hush, the children still sleep. Their door we approach, and inside now creep.
Oh, I'm your Yankee Doodle Muggsy. Your uncle, go Muggsy, do or die. You're my niece and nephew, I your uncle am, and today is the 4th of July. Today's a Yankee Doodle's daydream, a day when flags and rockets fly. Uncle Muggsy went to London, called King George a phony. I am that Muggsy Doodle guy. Beep.
Then down the hall of history, they marked our freedom's trail as Muggsy named the noble names George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Nathan Hale, and told how as one, the framers answered liberty's sweet call by making their great declaration at Independence Hall. And he told how Betsy Ross in haste the stars and stripes unfurled, and how Lexington and Concord was the shot heard round the world. Then he told of the winter of the troops who camped at Valley Forge, and how their stoic sacrifice in Pennsylvania's snow and ice defeated old King George.
Yankee Doodle Dandies, let's make a joyful noise and sing. We're the star-spangled children of our Uncle Sam, and today make the freedom bell ring. Let's cut a Yankee Doodle caper. Salute our founding fatherhood. Let's recite some happy birthday poetry to the land of the free and the good.
But in the midst of their festive song, the downstairs doorbell chimed. And so they left off their fifing and drumming. The British, they giggled, are coming, they're coming. One if by lap, two if by knee, and I'll dust the banister, Muggsy cried, wee! And so down the handrail a-flying they came and made such a scene in the hall. At the bottom they discharged as though from a gun, with Muggsy a great cannonball. Poor Muggsy, in crashing, had smashed all to bits some luggage there piled all around. He'd assaulted the ramparts of civilized taste in a single opening bound. And then from that wreckage he looked up to see that English Medusa, that Gorgon, that ghoul. It was Margaret's mother. She had come unannounced. A one-woman finishing school. Egad! And there she glowered jowlishly, so prim and grimly proper. Her teaching the children to fall again was a cold conversation stopper. That's not it at all, groaned Muggsy. You see, I was teaching the twins of our history. I see what you're teaching them, Ambrose, she snipped. Muggsy winced at that name painfully. In England, she went on, when Victoria was queen, we'd have music, then riding, then tea. But great Aunt Hortensia, the children now piped, today is the 4th of July. The parade starts at 4, Muggsy said, and what's more, the colors of freedom will fly. What nonsense, she sniffed, and declared in summation, the 4th of July is merely a day for proper education. And true to her word, without thought for the day, she commenced her campaign in the British way. While the twins were put through their proper paces, their thoughts could be seen on their sad little faces. They'd missed the parade and the fireworks, too. Would their dear Uncle Muggsy somehow come through? Might he yet save them from this hopeless to-do? Who knew? And what could he do? As promised, first music, and Hortensia would sing. Habakkuk's new violin popped a string. The tick of the metronome crisply kept time as the two of them sawed on and on. What a crime! I'll free you, thought Muggsy. Just give me some time. Equestrian training was next on the list. Emily's pony jumped first and missed. They trotted and cantered and hobbled and hopped. Hortensia's enthusiasm never stopped. But most painful of all was the deep crimson hue of their traditional horsey attire. Red coats on the 4th, this is war! Muggsy cried with patriotic fire. And by far the worst insult to that sacred day meant to honor the brave and the free was that starting at 4 with Hortensia's friends, they would suffer an English high tea. By Gadfrey, said Muggsy, I'll save them, I will, with some red, white, and blue rocketry. I'll remind them of all of our battles of yore. I'll show them once more who it was won that war on this day of our great liberty. And soon he'd return with a wheelbarrow full of crackers and candles and bombs. A true Bunker Hill of explosives it was, a gunpowder mountain of arms. He arranged them like minutemen ready to fight. He stood them behind rocks and trees. There were serpents and spinners and sparklers and snaps. There were mortars and missiles and whistles and caps. It would bring the redcoats to their knees. Whiz, bang, crack, boom. The battle at last had begun. The chit-chat now ended. The sipping now ceased. The ladies were blasted clean out of their seats. And the twins were at last having fun. I say, I can't see, old Hortensia declared, amidst the bombs bursting bright and the rocket's red glare. We are routed, dear ladies. Abandon the field. Lady Daphne fainted. Virginia reeled. Across the land, the Liberty Bell pealed. The battle was won. The day was now done. I had hoped we might cease and desist, but it wasn't to be, for now giddy with glee, true to form, Muggsy couldn't resist. For there yet was one rocket of red, white, and blue. They called it Big Martha for Washington's bride. The match now he struck, the fuse now he lit, but the missile took off with dear Muggsy astride. How high o'er the treetops like Lindbergh he flew. The world grew more distant as farther he zoomed. And Margaret, Hortensia, the children, and I all knew in our hearts that poor Muggsy was doomed. Shades of Icarus, barked Muggsy, a turn for the hearse. Victory wasn't supposed to be this hard. It puts me in mind of that line from the bard. I've been hoist by my own petard. Drat. But fortune besmiled upon Muggsy that day. The bomb, though it flew, was a miserable dud. It fell and it fell through the clouds to the ground, then fizzled and crashed in some mud. And when the smoke cleared, how Muggsy rejoiced. His life had been spared and the day was yet young. And to top it all off, he'd been given a mule. And now to his mane Muggsy clung. Onward, Bucephalus, onward, he cried. We'll catch that parade by the tail if we must. The Republic depends on us, so do the twins. Hi-ho, Yankee Doodle, or bust. Now swiftly he galloped and spread the good cheer to every village and farm far and near. Awaken, ye citizens, hearken and hear. America's birthday is here. America's birthday is here. Meanwhile, at the parade, all solemn and grave, sat Margaret the twins and Hortensia too. They'd come out to see, but for sadness saw not. It was what Muggsy would have wanted to do. But lo, in the distance came a cry and a hue. 'Twas a mule hasting toward us in red, white, and blue. And atop that old mule, flying fearless and fleet, atop that swift steed racing down our main street, sat a fanciful fop, quite familiar somehow. And happy birthday, America, was writ upon his brow. Then the mule, he stopped short, and the rider was thrown. Muggsy landed and made his identity known. He lay battered and blackened with many a wound. A ghost, cried Hortensia, and swooned. You've come back, they all shouted. Hurrah, you're alive. Of course, Muggsy laughed. I'm just sore from the ride. Then each twin took an arm and helped him to stand. He lifted Old Glory and gave the command. Let's join the parade, Muggsy cried. Fall in line. The fife pierced the air and the drum marked the time. And the air and the afternoon swelled with their song. It rose to the heavens till marching along was another parade filled with heroes of yore. We've seen some of them in our story before, but others we haven't, whose song now we sing, and to them humbly make this our small offering. Yankee Doodle to all, and to all a good night.
Wow.
Hey, hey.
Was that Muggsy reading over the top or what, man?
Oh, man, you were chewing the carpet there.
I left it all on the field, Alvin. I got nothing left to give.
Oh, man.
I got nothing left to give, and we got a whole couple of segments that we got to fill, and I'm just emotionally
drained,
man.
Yeah, I can see
you know it. What? Now would be a good time to do an Ask Metaxas segment.
Well, yeah.
You know, people write in, and they have questions,
yeah.
And Ask Metaxas, or technically it should be Ask Metaxas,
yeah.
Is where you read the questions and I try to answer them. Let's try it.
Yeah. And we're going to combine it a little later on with a listener writes.
Because if we have time.
Two powerful segments
two
here.
Two very, very powerful. They shouldn't be combined. They're so powerful.
Yeah, so hang on to your hats.
Let's see what
ladies
we got.
And gentlemen, here we go. The first Ask Metaxas question comes in to us from Brad somewhere in America or the world or the universe somewhere. Brad. We are huge fans.
And this is Brad writing. Go ahead.
Yeah, we are huge fans, written in all caps. Wow. We are visiting Greece in September. Do you have any recommended history books or biblical readings before we go?
Oh, that's easy.
Yeah?
No.
Okay. That's our next question.
Let's move on.
Okay. Okay, Ben. Right. Okay, well, you are moving on. Dear Mr. Metaxas, he calls you Mr. I am writing to you to ask a question. He didn't have to write that, but he did. When will your sequel to Seven Women be released?
Okay, most people know I wrote a book called Seven Men.
Yes.
Then I wrote a book called Seven Women. Then I was going to write a book called Seven Drag Icons.
Yes.
Cher, Liza Minnelli, Joan mm-hmm. Crawford, Betty Davis. But Thomas Nelson didn't want to publish it. They thought it was too controversial. So I thought, okay,
Tommy,
why don't I just do a sequel to Seven Men? I'll call it Seven More Men.
Okay.
So I did. And then I said, of course, I'm going to do Seven More Women.
Mm-hmm.
But Thomas Nelson and Zondervan, I think they got cold feet because sequels, they say, don't sell as well.
Oh.
So I don't know. If I'm going to get to do, I mean, look, I know I'm going to write the book. In fact, it's more than half written. But when we publish Seven More Women is an open question. Seven More Men came out last year during COVID, so it probably didn't sell as well even as we thought. That's the problem with COVID. So try to launch a book not during a global pandemic. That's
right.
Just a tip of advice from a longtime writer.
Yeah.
And
that was the only problem with COVID.
Yeah, that was the only problem is that my book didn't do as well as expected.
No.
But actually, people read Seven Men and Seven Women, and they want more, and Seven More Men is that book. Seven More Women,
mm-hmm.
We will publish it. We just need to find the right publisher.
Yes.
Or you know what? I would publish it myself because so many people keep asking me about it that I'm getting sick of it. I'm thinking, I just want to go, here it is. And I can't do that until I finish writing it and
all
get it published.
Right.
So thanks for asking.
Yes.
And, you know, write an email to your favorite publisher and ask them why they're not publishing it.
That's
because
right.
Because honestly, I can't wait to get it out there. People, I'm not kidding, all around the country, they love these books.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all
yeah.
I'll say.
Great. Now, this next question is terrific because yesterday or the day before, we had Kevin McCullough on. And you call him Votestradamus. Chris Himes came up with that great name, but you use it all the time. This listener named Rick says, I like listening to your program. However, I wonder why you disgrace Kevin McCullough by calling him Nostradamus. Nostradamus. It's actually Votestradamus. But Nostradamus was a false prophet who had a few wild guesses cloaked in vague terminology that could be interpreted as accurate prophecies by an interpreter biased in his favor. Just wondering.
Well, Rick brings up a very, very important issue. Unfortunately, this is not that important issue.
No.
This is a kind of a silly thing. He says, why would I disgrace Kevin by calling him Nostradamus? First of all, I don't call him Nostradamus. I call him Votestradamus.
Right.
And really what I'm doing is making fun of Nostradamus. So if you think that I am lauding Votestradamus, then you're not really catching it, Rick. I want to say, like, I'm kind of making fun of Nostradamus. Nostradamus was a 15th century French versifier who wrote these quatrains. And at one point, he says something about Hister or something. It's almost like Hitler. A lot of his stuff could be seen as potentially true. But listen,
yeah,
we need to understand that prophesying the future, God can do that, but the dark side can do that too. So if you just want information, you don't care where it comes from, hey, you know, the devil and his minions are happy to provide you with secret knowledge as long as you give them your eternal soul. That's
yeah.
all they ask.
Yeah,
so when you're dealing with somebody like Nostradamus, I would never suggest that I think much of him. In fact, what I would do is make fun of him by calling Kevin McCullough Votestradamus. So I am, in fact, not praising Nostradamus as much as I am kind of teasing anybody who thinks that he's worth taking seriously. And Kevin McCullough, by the way, far from being disgraced by that appellation, he is honored by it. Okay?
Yeah.
More honored than anything in his life. Beyond his marriage, his children, being called Votestradamus is his number one thing.
Now, see, I saw a different side of him because when he was in the green room after this last interview, which people can watch online at Rumble, he was weeping. I mean, this is a grown man, actually.
Because he's so honored by this honorific.
Tears
and that's what it is.
Tears of
that
honor.
He was weeping. He's like, Eric and Chris, thank you, thank you. This means more to me than anything. And I had to tell him, no, God and your family should be more important. But it took him a while for him to get that.
Yeah, so I think he has it actually tattooed right across his chest now.
Votestradamus.
When we come back, because it looks like we're going to a break we're going to get into some more questions and also a listener rights.
We may have time for a listener rights. We're having so much fun. It's just crazy.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll.
Hey, Albin.
Hey, Eric.
You know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time for a special segment we like to call A Listener Writes. And since we produce the program, we can call it a listener rights. So we don't just
rights,
like to call
rights,
it that.
Rights,
we're
rights,
able
rights,
to call rights, it that rights. In reality.
I tried to add something like an echo.
A listener rights.
By the way,
when we say a listener, that listener could be you, folks. If you write to us, we might read your program on the air. We might read it privately and just snicker at it and make fun of you behind your back. But we probably wouldn't do that. We probably would take it seriously and read it on the air. For example, Ron. If your name is Ron and you wrote to us. Yeah. Today's your lucky day because Albin is now going to read this one out with a formal reading of your question to the Eric Metaxas Show.
And if your name isn't Ron, change it right now. So you could be this Ron.
You could be Ron.
Your bottom line, says Ron, writes Ron, seem to be your bottom line.
Okay, Ron is writing to me, Eric, and he writes, Dear Eric, go ahead.
Your bottom line seem to be that we the people need to wake up and fight back against Marxism, right? But the closest I saw anyone come to that was the Trump supporters on January 6th. And look what happened to them. We also see that the ballot box doesn't work with the counting machines controlled by the leftists. So what exactly is an ordinary, anonymous, obscure, non-celebrity citizen supposed to do about this? All avenues of expression for conservatives and Christians have been shut off. Is the only solution going to be a civil war?
All right, so let's just deal with this. Ron, you say all avenues of expression for conservatives and Christians have been shut off. And yet, rather ironically, I am speaking and you are hearing me speak. So clearly, this show is one avenue of expression for conservatives and Christians and anyone else. So that's just not true. I know what you mean, Ron. But I think that there's always a temptation to get negative and to say there's nothing we can do. That, since we don't have a lot of time, let me cut to the chase and say that's the voice of the devil. God wants us to hope and to fight on for the truth no matter what. Whether we win or lose, we need to be hopeful, joyful warriors in the fight for truth and justice and honor and liberty. And to say the only thing we could do is, you know, showing up at the Capitol or whatever. I mean, look, most of those people were wonderful people. But that was just, you know, a demonstration, a show of numbers to say, you know, we question this election. And yes, they were demonized and they've been treated poorly. And I believe that, you know, God's going to deal with all of that, honestly, because that in America we ought not to ever allow people to be treated the way many of them have been treated. That's a separate issue. But I want to say there's many things you can do, and you need to do them. For example, stop being negative. That's number one. Number two, find a good place of worship and a good community of people who believe similarly to you and who can encourage you in doing what you can do. If you're some kind of a believer in the God of the Bible, one thing you can do is pray, and pray with joy and faith that God would use this nation for a new birth of freedom in the world. I really do believe that, well, there's no question God hears our prayers. And so when people say, yeah, but what else? Before you get to the yeah, but what else, you do need to pray, because God asks us to pray, to come to him with our problems in prayer and in faith. And guess what? These are some problems, and everything you say is exactly right. We need to acknowledge this is a problem, but we pray and ask God to open up more places. I mean, look, I say to people, one of the reasons I say to folks, please share this show, subscribe to my newsletter, ericmetaxas.com, subscribe there so you can get these videos so you can share them with people, is because we do need more avenues of expression. I mean, this is a dramatic problem. So you raise some real issues, but sharing what is out there. And again, we haven't all been shut down. I'm here. I got knocked off of YouTube. So what? Now I'm on Rumble. Now I'm right here talking to you. And I think that we've got to make the best of it and do what we can in faith.
I got to say, we went to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention last week. There were so many uplifting things happening that I get down about this, too. I really do. And actually working with the show and working with Eric and listening to the guests. I mean, sometimes I tell my wife, you know, it's like I was at a Bible study today, because some of these Erwin Lutzer we've had on, Brian Gibson is a guy, you got to go to Rumble and hear. Now, he's a pastor, and he was in the midst of the January 6th fiasco. And of course, the press is going to tell you one thing, but the real people on the ground that were there.
Well, I know many people who were there, and I have to tell you, if there's any reason to fight and to do everything you can, it's because we're not being told the truth. I mean, that's a scandal in the United States of America. So we need to get the truth out. But I want to say, you know, to piggyback on what you just said, Brian Gibson, he has a church in Kentucky and a church in Texas. Jack Hibbs has a church in Chino Hills, California. There are many other pastors who are really preaching truth and hope at a time when many Americans are desperately hungry for it. I would encourage you to find one of them online. If you can't drive to the church, if you can't go to Rob McCoy's church in Thousand Oaks, or go to Pastor Hibbs's church, or go to Greg Locke's church in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, or Ken Graves' church in Bangor, Maine, there's many I'm not mentioning. Greg Denham, my goodness, that's D-E-N-H-A-M. So many pastors I have met, and again, I'm forgetting half of them, they are heroes, and they're preaching the truth. They're speaking the truth without fear. I really think that the answer to this question, the big answer to this question, is any American who cares about what Ron just raised needs first and foremost to find one of these churches or two of these churches and to take in these sermons and these worship sessions and stuff. Because if you don't do that, the most natural thing is to lose hope.
Yeah, and questions like the CRT, right? Vody Bauckham.
Bauckham. Yeah.
I think he pronounces it Bauckham, but either way, B-A-U-C-H-A-M. He has a great book.
But we know it's Vody.
Fault Lines. I've been reading it. It's unbelievable. You got to see on Rumble. You got to see that interview as well. And if your pastor doesn't know what's going on, he's got to watch Vody. And he's got to read the book. It's incredible. But that will give you hope.
V-O-D-D-I-E. Well, that's right. We try on this program, which is an avenue of expression. Ron, I just want you to know we're still here.
Yeah.
I'm still here as far as I know. We want to just encourage people. You know, I say this all the time, but there's a lot you can do. There's a lot we could have done we didn't do. Let's start now. Let's start today. Subscribe to this, and I'm not trying to be self-serving. I'm trying to say I interview amazing people, whether it's Charlie Kirk or Vody Bauckham or whoever it is. spread that with people you know, with your pastor, with anybody you know. It doesn't matter what kind of church you go to, Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Protestant, evangelical, whatever.
Get involved.
And you don't need to go to church. Yeah. If you don't go to church, find one of these that I've mentioned. You know, if you're open to the truth, that's my suggestion. Doggone it, we're out of time. We may have a little more time in the next segment.
Maybe.
Okay, we'll be right back. Alvin, I'm exhausted from the previous two segments.
Me too.
I am just, wrung out.
I know.
I mean, first I did that very dramatic, over-the-top, almost effeminate reading of...
what are you going to do?
Of Uncle Muggsy, the sequel, which is Yankee Doodle Muggsy. It was kind of an Italianate, Southern European kind of, just the emotion was on the sleeve there. And I couldn't help it, man.
No.
But then we did an Ask Metaxas, and then we did a Listener Writes.
Yes, we did.
And, man, that's just high-quality content. If anybody listened to it or missed it, you need to go back, folks, because this will be on the test, I can
Please
tell you
do.
Right now.
Please go back.
I want to say the other day, of course, was my birthday. Mm-hmm. And my birthday, by the way, is also my father's birthday. I was born on his 36th birthday, and I tell the details of that in my book, Fish Out of Water.
I understand the Greek culture that the firstborn son must be born on the same day as the father to continue.
That's in the contract.
It is.
And if my mother hadn't fulfilled that, I mean, if she delivered late or some weird thing like that, the marriage could be off.
Yeah.
It's really serious in the Greek community.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is we pulled it off. I was born on my father's birthday, and that was so we celebrated my dad's 94th birthday this past Sunday, and obviously it was my birthday. My mother's birthday is 3 days before. It's kind of weird. We didn't plan that, by the way.
Okay.
But then I find out the day after our birthday, my dad's and mine, is the birthday of Mike Lindell.
Wow.
And so my father's thinking of adopting him now as a third son.
I got a chill.
Yeah. And I just want to say, folks, that could happen, but it might not happen.
I wonder if Jonathan Cahn can cover any of that in his Bible prophecies and things like
that.
I know.
Man.
Wow.
Okay, so, but anyway, on my birthday, I said to folks that since it's my birthday, if you're inclined to do something nice for me on my birthday, please pre-order my new book. I don't mean the new book, Fish Out of Water, but the new book that's coming out in October. It's called Is Atheism Dead? And I am extremely excited about that. So I tell people, you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble, you can go to, I don't know where you can, you know, it, like, I don't know where it's available, but you can pre-order it from those places
And it hit, like, number one in atheism in all seriousness.
I was number one in atheism.
It's not something.
And I thought if more people ordered it, it would have dropped to number zero in atheism.
Yeah.
And the internet would have been broken.
And then they were approved your theory was correct.
I want to break the internet.
Yeah.
Help me to break the internet. Help me to smash it. Because I want to go back to 8-track cassette tapes.
Help Eric.
8-track tapes. Okay, so
yes,
we were talking about Mike Lindell. So I said to people, please, if you haven't done it, pre-order my book because it really makes a difference. Huge difference. I can't. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm getting canceled and banned. And, you know, by the way, John Zmirak.
Yes.
You can't do a Google search on him. He's being banned by Google.
Wow.
If you try to get a Google alert, Katie, who works with us, she said that. So this is happening.
Yeah.
And when it happens to me and my friends, I know, whoop, it's getting creepy. But we put on a happy face and we march on. And I say, if you can help us, we'd be grateful to you. You could help us by pre-ordering the book, which is called Is Atheism Dead? Also, you get the lowest price between now and October. They guarantee that. So if the price drops in September, October, you'll get that price when it finally ships. But Mike Lindell, when it was his birthday, I thought we need to tell people if you want to celebrate Mike Lindell's birthday, because the man has spent his own money and time and energy for this country. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, Mike Lindell, he's too this or he's too that. Hey, folks. He spent many, many millions of his own money trying to get the truth out. So if for that only, I mean, I love him.
Yeah.
He's a friend. He's a dear soul. But I just want to say, like, this guy's a hero.
Yeah.
And so if you go to mypillow.com or mystore.com, obviously use the code Eric or you're going to jail.
Yes.
But if you use the code Eric, you get a big discount. And a lot of my stuff is available at mystore.com. And But we haven't recently spoken about the pillows and stuff. Folks, I'm telling you, you glance at the pillow, you're out like a light. The towels are so thirsty that if you like put it into a room, it sucks out the oxygen and the plants die. We're talking freaky technology. We're out of time. MyPillow.com. Use the code Eric or you're going to prison.